grain of rice, a grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was the show. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hi, folks. How are you all doing in lockdown land out there? We're hoping week on week we're surviving away, all of us, and we're keeping you going there for the bones of an hour some days with the old podcast here from the Irish Examiner. So today's guest, Sir Larry, is there in the background with his sound muted, but ready to bounce in at any stage from Tipperary land. Mark has joined us this week. We've given TJ the week off. And our special guest this week needs no great introduction, only to call him the great Dr. Con Murphy. Con, how are you in these difficult times for the nation?
Finding it hard enough, Dalo. So I retired on the 20th of December from general practice. I reached the age of 70. And suddenly I found myself missing my patients and then cocooning. And I was looking forward to staying with the teams, doing the training and that, but I haven't that either, so I feel a bit lost. My patients were transferred to my son, Cullum. Some of them have suggested that I knew this was coming, but that's...
As normal, Dr. Khan, your timing is impeccable.
Yeah, so I'm getting on with it. I'd love to have the matches back.
You're not a man, Khan, that strikes me maybe that would be an avid gardener.
No.
who keeps the garden tidy, Con?
Oh, we bring in a fella for that.
Con, you've been a great... Obviously, Mark would have had much more dealings with you over the years, closely associated. But, I mean, it's very strange that I saw your article there from maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, where you kind of signposted more or less what John Horne said on the Sunday game, Sunday night, that, you know, it's not looking overly promising that we will have action this year.
I thought John Horne handled it very well. I think a big problem is we're dealing with the unknown. We've never been in this situation before, and nobody wants to take a chance with anybody's life. So I don't see anyone rushing to have us playing.
Like, Mark, his interest in Liam Sheedy was on about opening pitches last night, and just following it on Twitter, you'd kind of Michael Dignan saying, well, look, this maybe nice, and Colm Collins said the same, actually, Colm the Clare football manager. But Michael, looking at it now, I suppose from his county board hat as chairman, said, like, it's hard on volunteers to be policing, yeah, social distancing and all that, you know, yeah, on a regular basis.
All GA people, I suppose, managers or players, actually want to get out there and they want to get back on the field. And so we've always put our own lives at risk every time we go out in the GA field. But the call here is a medical call, ultimately. And it's the medics of this country will decide what's the best thing for our players. Because, you know, even though all players want to get back on the field, the most important thing is health and safety. And, you know, as John Horne said, if it's one person, it's one person too many. And, you know, I suppose a month ago, I would have felt, look, come here, well, you know, things aren't as bad and we've flattened the curve and all that. But ultimately, there are lots of guys, players at the moment who are going back to their parents and are still living at home with their parents. They might be elderly and stuff like that, and they're not going to take that chance, Anthony, of bringing back anything that they've picked up in the field and bringing it back into their own home. So, you know, I think in 7 or 8 weeks' time, you know, if the new case number goes down and starts to go away, you know, it gives the medics more ammunition. But ultimately, this is out of... And like, I can see where the players are, the managements are coming from. They want to be back in the field, but this is bigger than that. Like.
Yeah.
The thing I'd be very worried about is the mental health of the players, because they're not used to this. And I see one article on the paper today now about one player struggling with his gambling addiction. You know, the boredom factor will creep in for players, and they'd want to mind themselves. Know that there are people there to talk to if they're in trouble.
That's the thing, Con. I think, you know, even the GPA could have a huge role to play in the next few months. They often, you know, get a bit of stick in, you know, I suppose maybe at times it's justified, but I think, Jesus, to be there for lads who we know, like, I mean, you've commented on, Con, as well, maybe that one of the things you'd like to see change maybe in your time and what you've witnessed over 40 more years would be the amount of time now that's going into senior inter-county. Like, it's just, it's all consuming, isn't it?
Absolutely. I can't get over it. I mean, when I started off in 76, the training we did was minimal. We didn't really train for the league. We got together a few weeks before the championship. The championship was knocked out, so you could be gone after the first game. So fellas were not consumed by it then. But we're all about professional in nature, the amount of time they give it. I think one thing that might come out of this is it might put a different perspective on the whole game. Fellas might see they could be doing more with their lives than just training.
Yeah, and I think that might have come from even the likes of ourselves. When I started my first year in the panel, Sean Herrer was the manager, and Sean would probably have followed on from the way he had seen things done in his own playing time and on from that. And obviously, they had a great team that came up against that first Cork hurling team that you took on. But, I couldn't believe it. I came on, even the club were very well organised around the time. We were winning championships. And that's another thing I have to pick up with you about getting a goal against Tarcastle in 1970. But we'll get to that. but I couldn't believe, really, that we were let back to the club for maybe 6 weeks before we played Waterford. We didn't qualify for anything in the league, and we were just lobbed back to the club for 6 weeks. And that wasn't too bad for our lads. And I was very young at the time. I was only a sub against Waterford in the championship. But for some clubs, I knew their preparation wouldn't be hectic. Lads, they weren't playing senior in that. And I suppose maybe likes of Lucknan and maybe even Linganer when he came, there was none of that going back to your clubs for a set amount of time. And maybe that's where the likes of the Clares and the Offalys and maybe, counties got a chance to make a breakthrough because their preparation wasn't going... If all things stayed the same, let me say to two good Cork men now and a Tip man as well, that it still would be Cork, Tip and Kilkenny winning all the All-Irelands. Now, they'd still win the majority of them. But, we had to try and shake it up or we wouldn't compete.
You're dead right there. I mean, when I started from 76 to 86, we won 5 All-Irelands. We competed in 8, right? Why was that? You had an awful lot of players in Cork who were playing with their clubs and came together for the county. No one was killing themselves. I mean, there was no such thing as gym work that time. So we were lucky to have an awful lot of natural players. What changed over the years, I would say you were one of the teams that started it, and which was totally fair. You brought the level of fitness to a higher level and started changing the goalposts for everyone. Do you think that's a fair comment?
I would say that, Con, yeah. I suppose, when it went on then to... We were still big day chokers, I would say. And, not to be talking on about Clare now, but... Yeah, Lucknan brought that to a completely mad level altogether, in terms of running up hills and, we would have always felt we could hurl like that. But see, as you said, the Cork Senior Championship, I suppose, early in those months, we'll say April, May's of those years, was savage competition compared to the Clare Senior Hurling Championship.
Yes, and you had a big pick as well. So you had a big pick of fellas who were playing well, and that gave us... the advantage. I read your article yesterday and I agree with nearly all of what you said. But the advantage we had at that time was the strong club structure that led into the championship.
Con, it all started for you as a mascot in 56.
And as I pointed out, then I'm back where I started.
No, I'd say if we get championship before the end of the year somehow, you'll be far from a mascot. What do you think, Mark?
Oh, he's something to be, when Con, I suppose, we call him by Dr. Con or the Doc or the Sixth Selector, really. So I think he's moved on from the mascot, Dale, to the Sixth Selector. And I think all through his career, every hurling or football, always knew Con as the Sixth Selector.
Would you accept that allegation, Con?
And for the last few years now, my son Cullum is the real doctor with the team, and I'm with him. And Aidan Keller, another pal of mine, does the football. My problem arose when I couldn't get on the pitch. I'll tell you a funny one. We were above in Croke Park 3 or 4 years ago, and I had to call the mobile stretcher for Kieran Joyce. He did his cruciate. And I had to get up in it to come off the pitch. And as we were passing the Hogan stand, somebody roared out, did I call the ambulance for myself?
I knew then it was time to be getting out.
Well, like certain lads from other counties had tried to remove you from the pitch over the years anyway, like. We might as well cut to the chase.
That was a great day. I went just down in Limerick. Fergal McCormick went down injured. And I was saying, will I, won't I? Will I, won't I? It was the far side of the pitch. And somehow I said, go over to him. And by the time I got over, he was up and ready and gone. You and I exchanged words, and the care crowd started at me.
We're playing Kilkenny 2004, and Wayne Sherlock went down injured, and I went into him. And I think Zaydon was the ref. He came over. He said, how is he?
I said, you got a bad belt there, Aidan. I said, come here. I said, you want to watch it, the Sunday game? I'm going to go to town in you tonight. And instead of telling me to get lost, he says, why? I said, you're riding us.
It wasn't just medical advice.
Gorta heard me. He came over and he started shoving me. We met a few months later at Shannon Airport. We had some laugh over it.
Stavely. That was always the way, which I'll give you that. There was never any grudges held anyway. My recollection of that day, 98, I think it was Fergal had gone down injured. And as I said, we had a bit of crack on Twitter about it. Like, my recollection of that was there wasn't much wrong with him. Like, but the game was in the balance and we were after getting a couple of scores maybe. And Fergal, cute enough, got the helmet off and got down like... And we had him, get up, McCormack, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, get up. There's nothing wrong with him. You know. And the next thing, anyway, we had shamed him into getting up when you arrived. And I just said, Jesus, here's more of it, like, calm tactics again, like, between Cusack telling me about wet balls and fast balls. And I said, this is more. Get off the field. I said, there's nothing wrong with him. And then most of the poor old Clare crowd wouldn't be able to afford the fancy tickets in the Mackey stand, so they'd be over the far side. You to walk over to them.
I'll tell you an interesting thing about coming on the pitch. From 76 to 83, the first time I came on the pitch in Croke Park, we're talking about the semi-final and final, the All-Ireland. My first time coming on the pitch was in the 83 All-Ireland final against Kilkenny. Donal O'Grady got split. Can you believe that when you compare it to today? I mean, I think it's gone crazy today, the way people are running in and out and in and out. A lot of it is unnecessary.
Is part of it tactics, kind of, you think? Are you dealing with a different type of player now?
The minute a player goes down now, they run straight in, which is wrong. I'd nearly give it, unless there's quite obvious a serious injury, it should be up to the referee to call you in.
Speaking about Twitter there, Con, I heard that you went viral over the weekend on Twitter with a lot of photographs.
I regretted it afterwards. I was asked to put on 7 photographs and I put on a lash of them. But when we won the Dublin in 1990, it was very hard to get the cups. My family were all young. But in April, I managed to get the 2 cups for a Saturday. So I asked all my friends around to the house to take photographs with this unique occasion. But Don Lennon, who's a great friend of mine, had won the AIL League with Cork on the week before, and he brought that cup over with him as well. And that time it was a roll of film, so you weren't click, click, click. So we lined up, and each family took turns to sit down with the 3 cups. But it never dawned on me to take the rugby cup out of my photograph.
Well, you're bang on there, Con, because I couldn't figure out what the other trophy was, to tell you the truth.
I tell everyone, Dalo, who comes to the house, who points, what's that? I tell them it's the Eroptus.
Con, obviously, you're steeped. You know other choice, your father, Weish, 45, full-back, and on the Cork Millennium team and everything like that. So I was reading a couple of things just last night of the famous, you know, just incidents and bits and pieces about your dad. And there's a massive one about a home 62 Munster football final against Kerry that got very raucous and unseemly sort of incidents took place. And eventually a friar, I think, got up on a wall the old athletic grounds and appeal for peace. And your father and another board official got up to give a hand to try and calm it. Have you any recollection of that one, 62 Munster football final?
I was too young for that. He played up to 1954. One of my earliest memories of the big time was meeting Nicky Rackard in the old athletic grounds with my father. It was like meeting someone out of Hollywood. Huge man, good-looking man.
Yeah.
My father and Nicky were in the same class in Dublin, the veterinary college. And in fact, they marked each other in a Railway Cup football match. But that was one of the things that stuck out in my mind growing up.
And when you were getting involved with CorkCon, your dad, I'm sure, was county board chairman. And was there a bit of hassle with the Glen at the time?
My father was chairman from 56 to 66. And he had the Glen and themselves would rouse over different things. So when I came in 76, I was in awe of Chris Earing. I mean, that time, most teams didn't have a team doctor. Sports injuries was not a science or anything like that. But how I got in was on the Saturday night before Cork Day Tip. I was at the dog track with JBM, whom I was driving to the match the following day, who was a sub. And Des Conroy came up and said, asked me, was I going? I said, I was. He said, Bertie Murphy has a broken small toe. Would you come up and inject it? I said, I will. As they say, the rest is history. So I went up and I sat beside Chris Earing and I sat beside him for all the matches. I was in awe of him. Some people, like, he got so excited during the matches, he wasn't easy to sit beside him, I'll tell you. But just fascinating to see him. He brought a huge amount to the setup insofar as he was idolized. And he didn't say much in the dressing room. He always wore a suit and tie, shirt and tie. But he always stood at the door as we were leaving the dressing room saying, we're from Cork. And it was incredible. It was an incredible sight, really, to see him. I mean, no one else could do that. I mean,
yeah. And that was him as a selector, Con. And tell me, Con, have you got a lot of memories of him as a player then?
I have. I saw him play with the Glen, not so much with Cork, but I mainly saw him play with the Glen. I mean, he was a fantastic player. I grew up and all I wanted to do was play with Cork. But I was about 14 when I knew that I got it badly wrong. But it was the doctor when I was sitting beside Chris Earing and I was looking at his wrists. You wouldn't believe the size of them compared to mine. Mine were like chicken legs. He was just naturally powerful and had great presence.
One of the stories, Con, that I know you said he didn't say too much in the dressing room, but I think it was Jimmy Barry and Johnny Callanan. I was with Johnny Callanan and we met Jimmy. I think, it was some racetrack somewhere as well like that. And he's saying about, Clare really looked to have him on the rack in 78, the last year, the three in a row, where the two-point game was a 13-11 Munster final. I remember being at it now. Yeah. They brought me at home. I was only 8 or 9, but like he said, that day Christy kind of cut loose more at halftime in the dressing room than ever. And Barry Murphy told how it had an awful effect on him, like just the absolute awe. But he wouldn't say much. But that day, he sensed maybe this could be D-Day for Clare to make a break and cut loose that extra bit. And that's what probably got him over the line, he felt, on the day.
Oh, no doubt. I remember that day distinctly. And the thing that was driving Ringy was that Justin was in charge of Clare.
Yes, yeah.
I remember two things after that. Say, when we won 3-0, so obviously we were going for 4 in a row. I met him Christmas, New Year's Day out walking down Monkstown. And I said, what about next year, Christy? Will there be any changes in the panel? And he famously said to me, no, he said, we'll stick with what we have. And I said, well, I'd walked away from him he called after me. Of course, unless we find better.
We stick who we have till we've better. That's a great. I was often accused of being too loyal to players while I was a manager, and that was always my attitude as well, kind of. You were charged with putting out the best 15 that was available to you, you know, and I any given year we were there to try and win Munster, maybe in All Ireland if we were very lucky, but I think that was the statement I heard years ago and it lived with me, you know, and unless there was someone better than Brian Lawan when he was 34, Brian Lawan was still getting the number 3 off me if he was fit enough and wanted it enough, you know, so I think that's a great learning curve. I don't know if we're like... We're not like soccer teams with academies and that we can constantly be saying, you know, well, he's too old now, just get rid of him, put in a young lad. You know, you're charged every year to do the best you can. It's not a 5-year plan. That would be always my attitude.
One of the saddest dressing rooms I was in was, so we played Galway in the 79 semi-final, and John Horgan was captain, was split, and I was stitching him afterwards. And he was crying and I was crying because it wasn't that we'd lost the 4 in a row or that. But we knew to the end of the line for the team.
Yeah, I remember in 2001, I was going back to being a sub after starting as a sub in 89. And Tip beat us in a titanic match down the park. Now, Nicky went on to lead him to his managerial All-Ireland. And, Jesus, there was a few controversial refereeing decisions. Now, I nearly got arrested after the match trying to get in to the ref's dressing room. Oh, Jesus, I used to take things very serious, Cam. But, just the sense in that dressing room. And we stayed in Cork that night. Of course, knock out that time, and just you just had the feeling looking at the boys that was over. Now, subsequently, they went back and got to the final in 2002. I wasn't there, Liam Doyle wasn't there, the Sparrow wasn't there, you know. But you just had that feeling that day, you know, it was the end of an era, I suppose. And that is a moment, I suppose, if you can tell.
You weren't going to have the camaraderie of a dressing room again with the same fellas, you know. So that team split up completely after 79.
Yeah. And Cork glulled a bit in for a year or two, like.
Probably... 80 and 81, we lost.
Limerick were the team nearly, were they?
They were. We lost one of those matches because Ray Cummins got sick the morning of the match. And he was a huge loss to us. So 82, we got back to the All-Ireland final against Kilkenny. That was one of the poorest performances from a Cork team in the final. They destroyed it. 83, we were near beating them. And 84, then we beat Offaly below in Thurles. As a concept, the All-Ireland final in Thurles didn't work. And we were,
why is that, kind of? I was going to ask you about that. Was that not special, or, you know, going back to Thurles?
Century.
It's special. It's special for the Munster final. That's traditional. But, I mean, the All-Ireland final is Croke Park, full stop. It didn't work right out anyway in 84. In Thurles. We're lucky to win it because it was our third final in a row. But as an occasion, it didn't click.
Yeah, well, that's spoken like a true Corkman there. The occasion didn't click, but you still won the All-Ireland. Like, well, football had obviously played a massive role for you as well, Cork, I suppose. With Cork, like, obviously your father was a football man, really, like.
And my club has always been UCC football, whom I'm still involved with.
Tell me about Lees, Con, just before we move on to UCC. What year did Lees fold up?
They folded up the year I went to college, which is a pure coincidence. They were a very old club back in the old days, but in 1952 my father reformed them, and what they were. There were a club for people coming into Cork to work. That time you couldn't get home easily. People worked a 6-day week. They formed in 52 and they won the senior county in 55. At that stage, my father was full forward. The midfield was the Roscommon midfield. And the forward was from Tip. It was a team of blow-ins. They had no locality, no community spirit. They were just a bunch of fellas. And it just petered out eventually. When transport became better and people could go home, there was no room for Lees and the sport.
And you went on to UCC then, Con, after that, and you're still with UCC.
Well, I love UCC, but it's, as a club, it's a much easier club to be a member of. You know, we've no families. There's someone fighting about who's been picked.
You know the rows you have in clubs. We've none of that.
Was there a famous time? You'd be very friendly with Bas Keane in the day, and Billy Morgan, I think, was in charge of a team. There's a great story once upon a time where Billy, I think, asked you to get Mas to speak to the Sigerson team. Is that right?
Because I got Billy to coach the college team over 10 years ago. And he said to me, I want a celebrity to speak to the team at 12 o'clock in the River Lee to wish them well. I came back now for you. You owe me this. So Wednesday at 12 o'clock, very difficult to get anyone. So I rang Mas Keane. He gave me a great answer. He said, you remember, we were at the same time in college. Can you imagine someone coming in from the 1928 team to speak to us? He wasn't having any of it. I was making my way over to Billy and the team, and I said, oh, God, I'm going to get my head blown off here now because I've no one. I got out a blank piece of paper, and I go, for the attention of Billy Morgan, dear Billy, sorry I can't be with you today. I played with UCC, Kerry, Munster, the Lions, but the highlight of my life was UCC. Best of luck, Mas Keane. Over to the hotel. And when I arrive over, Billy's reading it out to the team.
On surgery paper,
A few weeks later, we're up in Dublin, we meet Mas, and Billy's thanking Mas for the letter. Mas doesn't know what he's doing.
Brilliant.
Mas was a great guy. I texted him after Tyrone beat Kerry in 2008, and I said, I just said two words, very disappointing. And he immediately texted me back, there's only one S in disappointing.
Those Kerry football rugby fellas, I'd be good friends with Mick Galway now, similar type of character, like, you know, you couldn't get the last word, like, you know. But the one thing kind of always struck me is like the welcome for other players, even though you're just so associated with Cork. I mean, even I remember, I tell you, you know, you probably don't remember my first time meeting you. I was sent down, I think it was 1991. I was out with a back injury, lower back, the usual thing, sciatica or whatever it was. Anyway, and I was breaking the county board anyway with physio fees. And that time, of course, they'd throw you up on a table and put some machine on you with an electric current going across your arse and stuff, like, you know. And go away again, we'll see you next week, and you can't train. So eventually, anyway, I think someone said to Lingan, or maybe it was Gerard, I'd said, Gerard, okay, I might have been with him the same year. We sent him down to Conmurphy there. He says, he's the man. He's been through all this. So the great Paddy Casey, who was everything in the Clare County Board, from treasurer to PRO to underage secretary, drove me down anyway.
Yeah.
You threw me up on the table anyway, made me do a few stretches. And I think it was a Monday afternoon. And you said, when are you training again, Anthony? And I said, well, there's training tomorrow night, Con, but I haven't trained like in 5 weeks, you know. So you might have a few problems with this later on in life, but my advice is just to go away training tomorrow night. I think I was the sub in the league match on Sunday. So I'll tell you, there was a lot of it, like, is you know what? And I didn't since have a hip operation, Con Murphy. I'd give back 5 hip operations for what we won.
You're talking about operations, Anthony. Say, in my first 10 years with Cork, 76 to 86, we had one cartilage operation. No, that wasn't down to me. That's just all we had. I mean, when I see the injuries today, it's frightening. Won 5 All-Irelands and one operation. Amazing, isn't it?
That's absolutely amazing. But you did another famous cartilage. Well, you got it organised. Con, our fellow guest here might be able to elaborate on how it happened.
Yeah, I never forget it. I suppose we're playing in the county quarter final against Newtown Shandrum with Jimmy Killey. I don't know if you remember it, Con, on a Saturday evening above in Kilworth. I rang you on the way home, fairly distressed, all right. And it was August bank holiday weekend, so I think everybody was gone on holidays. You were down in Kerry at the time, Con.
I was down to Dunloe. You arrived down in the morning. And I remember saying to you, if we don't get this done straight away, you won't play in the All-Ireland final. And all my orthopedic pals were missing. But I eventually found them, Mr. Michael Murphy in Tralee. Fair play to him. He operated on you the following morning, didn't he?
That's correct. On the ball. But it was the longest wait. I think I had about a 2-hour wait, I think, Con, in the Dunloe. And I said to myself, you must have been doing some phone calls at that stage.
Yeah, I was sweating over it because I knew you were goosed if you didn't get it done straight. I mean, Thursday wouldn't have done at all. Had to be done straight away. Yeah.
And Mark, were you able to train then? Like, it was 3 weeks before the All-Ireland. Were you able to train? Like?
No, what actually happened, to be fair, and Tomás Mulcahy would have been very much involved in it, and Frank Murphy, I went and stayed with Liam O'Reilly at the time, who was a sports masseur, and it was the first time experience a professional, would say, going to training, as in getting up at 7:30 in the morning, masseuse, gym work, weights, cycling, swimming, proper diet, sleep during the day. I lost actually 7 pounds in 6 days, Anthony, and I was fit enough, I suppose, when you come to that stage of the season, you'd be fit enough. And I can remember coming back training, I think the Tuesday week before the All-Ireland final, at 10 or 12 days after the operation, Johnny Crowley came to me and said, Mark, geez, he said, you're going to weigh to nothing. He said, if you lose any more weight, he said, you'll be blown out of it against Kilkenny. So I said, that was a big thing for me, that I was given the opportunity to prove my fitness. And look, the doc was in the background all the time monitoring things. But
that year, we played 4 championship matches and we fielded the same team in the 4 of them. But a week before the All-Ireland final, on the Sunday night, I went for a pint with JVM. What do you reckon? He says, what do you think? I said, you brought in Alan Brown for Neil Ronan for every match. And he said, a blinder. I said, are you thinking of changing? I suppose I better, he says. So, by pure coincidence, the first fella in looking for me the following morning was Alan Brown. I couldn't keep my mouth shut. Alan, I shouldn't tell you this, but you're lining up. So, I go down the park that night, gather around the circle, JB calls out the team, no Alan Brown. Wake up to JB. Hi, afternoon. He says, I'm superstitious. He says, why would I change?
What kind of a reception did you get from Alan Brown?
He nearly killed me. But I remember we're up. Another funny thing happened at the 99 final. JB says to me, get something different for the dressing room, something we haven't done at all for them. Check out there with your buddies, the rugby.
Jimmy was a good man to delegate, Doc, wasn't he?
Well, he was. So he said to me, get me something. So Donald said, do you know the way you throw out the jerseys? That kidman puts in his hand, pulls out a jersey. Donald told me, get someone to present the jerseys to the players at 30 minutes before the game. Jimmy called each fellow up individually to present them with his jersey. And everyone clapped. And by the time he finished, everyone was crying. It was the most emotional scene you ever saw.
Yeah.
He says to me, what do you reckon? I said, we're either fucking geniuses. I said, or we're going to be glad for this.
the result on those things decide everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing, yeah. I remember watching that. I must have given, I had 2 good tickets. And I went up into the Canal Inn and got drenched. And was wondering if we got another run at G after losing the Munster final G, how would that have played out? But anyway, what is, and we weren't good enough to beat Kilkenny. But yeah, it was a nice one, and we got you to welcome Liam McCarthy back to Leaside. Mark, fair play. We were delighted with that. Up in there.
Shannon McGrath, I won't mind me telling this because he's heard it before. But I was standing on the sideline, and there's 15 minutes to go. I said to JB, how long is left? He said 15 minutes. I said to him, what do you think? He says, we're in trouble. I says, where do we go wrong? He says, they're too young. What do you think? I said, Jesus, if you don't take off Sean McGrath, we'll get killed. Sure, he popped up the next 3 points.
There you go.
Fine. You mentioned Don Linehan there. I know you a long, long time. You're very, very friendly with Don. How did that friendship strike up, Con?
The makings of me with all those fellas was the Western Star.
Right.
It was a pub. I live across the road from it. When I went to college, there was a thing called a ban. You know, rugby and soccer were out. So the UCC football club and hurling club used to drink in the Star. But I used. But I eventually got the football club into the Star. So every weekend and every so often, I used to be in there and I used to meet the rugby fellas. That's how I became friendly with the rugby fellas.
it happened I was a doctor then as well. So I started treating a lot of them, looking after them. And that's how the friendship built through the Western Star.
And Don, he'd be an avid hurling and football fan, wouldn't he? He'd be a huge cocks of water and Jay.
He goes to all our matches.
Can we'd often meet him in the Examiner on a Monday morning. He'd have as much chat about the GAA matches over the weekend as he would about the rugby matches. Yeah. And Con, I have to ask you, as the neutral man here, between the two Cockmen, the strikes. Now, we have one of the six signatures to the proclamation of the first one here on the line, Mr. Landers. I think it was an East Cork strike, really. But Con, you managed to kind of remain... I wrote a bit about it because my first year managing Dublin was, I think it was the last one, was it? The 09 one. And it was one of the weirdest days I was ever at hurling match, like with a crowd shouting for this team and other people hoping maybe the Dublin would win, you know. But you managed to kind of stay aloof of it, Con.
Yeah, it was a hugely stressful time in my life because I was neither one thing nor the other. I remember Don Loeb coming to me. And he met me up in the River Lee, and he said, if you come out and support the players, you'll unlock this. And I said to him straight up, I couldn't handle the stress of it. It would ruin me. And I didn't sleep that night. About 3 o'clock in the morning, my mobile went off. Don't know. Sorry for putting you on the spot. You owe us nothing. Thanks for all you've done for us. Don't know, which I really appreciate. It was a horrible time. And it has left a sting still. Not bad now. We're gradually getting over it, but it left a sting for a long time. It's sort of a civil war type situation, really. People think I'm going to write a book, but I'm not. Like, but I would have no intention of writing a book and detailing all that trouble we had with the strike. It doesn't work that.
Anthony, it was a horrible time. I suppose we definitely, as a group of players, were adamant that things needed to improve. We were very young at the time, very ambitious, and that team went on obviously to... I wasn't involved afterwards, but the team went on to contest 4 months of finals and 4 All-Ireland finals, so they proved their worth. But we felt, and I suppose now, as I'm mature now, I would look back in it and I would definitely be saying the leaders of our county board should have shown more leadership. And it shouldn't have been the young players that had to be driving the agenda. And I think there's a lesson in that for everybody, be it in business or be it in life or as a parent, you know, you have got to show leadership. And you know, as Con mentioned earlier on about, you know, in the early 70s, why were Cork one of the best teams around? Because we were probably ahead of the game and had higher standards. And this was a feeling within our group of players that the other counties had risen their standards and we weren't rising our standards. And a part of that was lack of leadership within the county board and probably the fact that money was very tight in terms of getting anything done for the players in terms of gym membership and... gear and all that kind of stuff. And I suppose Cork wanted to be the forefront of that, and that wasn't happening at the higher level, and that was part of it. I mean, I have no regrets whatsoever. Yes, there was a lot of arguments, and I've fallen out with people since then, haven't spoken to them, which is the sad side of it now. That is really, really the sad side of it, because I grew up with people in my own club or in my own division, and depending on which side of the strike you were on, you were going to the other side of the road. It was, you know, civil war, as Con mentioned, and it was really, really hugely stressful and disappointing, and it should never have got to the big thing is, it should never have got to the point it got to. And that's where I think the lack of leadership from our elder statesmen within the county board at the time and the people that were advising them should have been, I think, more mature, in my opinion, at the time.
An interesting thing, when I started off in 76, Dale, how we travel to the matches is by taxi. So most of the players were from the city. So what used to happen was there used to be two stretch limos outside the railway station. That's where the Cork players left from. Like you had a car coming from East Cork and you had a car coming from somewhere else. But the bulk of them met down there, and that's how we travel. Not by bus, stretch limo. And to give you an idea, you know, if you were going for a league match in Tip, the first car brought the fellas who wanted to come straight home. The second car brought the fellas who were out for the night. You ended up in Walsh in some Mitchell's town if you went in the second car. If we were playing in Limerick, you ended up in Golden's and Mallow.
And you know what? We won a Hearty Cup back in 1987. We beat the Mon in the semi-final. We hammered them. We beat Middleton well in the final. We went on and beat Kearns in the Ireland final, right? And Shannon Comprehensive won the B All-Ireland. And we had about five or six more guys to add on then to those two squads. And we went down to play Cork in Kilmallock in Stephen Marsh. Got a good team in Bradford in his minibus packed in. And all these black taxis pulled up outside the, you know, the pavilion in Kilmallock. And Jesus, straight away, it was intimidating. You know, from a clear lad getting off the ball. All of a sudden, I'd beaten all these fellas in schools matches. Well, all of a sudden, then this was Cork. And that lived with me for a long time, you know, that whole factor that it travelled that way. But obviously, there was other issues, as Mark has alluded to, in terms of preparation and that.
What changed it all then, right? We played Limerick in 1980 or 81 in the park. We met beforehand in Parky Ring for the pre-match meal in Puckerun, right? It was a sweltering hot day. We all got into our cars and drove down to the park. Just chaotic. There was fellas out all over the road, drinking pints, hitting our cars, shouting at us, with no escort, nothing. Quite honestly, the team arrived in a desperate state to the match. We're late, and from then on, Cork got a bus everywhere.
Yeah, and that's sure it makes sense as well. It's fine heading out of the city up to Kilmallock, like, but when you're going into a bottleneck like Parky Keeve at times, like, you've remained such friends with so many fellas from outside the county. Jesus, I was up doing a Vodafone ad the year I retired in 2002. Ashford was a few quid out of it at Vodafone. They were sponsoring the Clare team, but I was up and put up in a hotel for two nights, and it was shot below in Wicklow, and we were finished with the film, and anyway, on the Friday night, and I think we were meeting. Kerry and Cork might have met in the All-Ireland football semi-final that weekend in the year Armagh beat Kerry in the final. And myself and a buddy of mine from the village, Gary Power, we just said we'd meet up for a few pints anyway Friday night. And I think you were outside Dohany and Nesbitt's, lovely, warm Friday evening, I think it was, with the great John O'Keefe and the great Gerard Power. And you took us into your company for the evening, not the whole night. Now we went out the whole night, but Jesus, the stories and the crack and the bond.
We were up for the Aussie rules, actually. That's what we're doing. I remember telling you the story. Do you remember the day in Turles that you came out and you nearly blew me and JB into the stand? I was telling you I talked to JP and I said, fuck it, we're in trouble here.
It was a classic, Mark. It was 98. Cork were after hockey us in the league semi-final.
In the league semi-final, yeah.
And we all made a vow that no one would touch a pint, like, for the 8 weeks, I think, you know. And we stuck to them. But just that was tough going for likes of me, 8 weeks. but anyway, they'd roped off Semple Stadium, you know, that you had to go around the rope. So I said to Fitzy, we'll jump the fucking rope. Now, it might have been a bigger challenge for Fitzy, as you can imagine, coming behind me, like, but right in front of me were Dr. Conn and Jimmy, and I think Tom Cashman, Conn, if I'm right. And I came down the tunnel like a ball of thunder after listening to Loch Lan. And I decided I'd straight out over the wire, and I said, get the fuck out of my way! But I wasn't going hopping off three legends now, but the boys kind of looked at me and I went past them and Conn, as the story goes, Conn looked at Jimmy and he said, we're in trouble here, Jim.
Yeah, Conn, just a couple of questions there. Like, you have a massive relationship with a huge amount of former, we say, inter-county players outside of the county, and I'm just going to mention a couple of who I've seen you in your company and been there. Nicky English, I was at your retirement party recently. There's two questions I wanted to ask you about your retirement. You had visitors from Tipperary, from the home of Holland, so they think recently. Is that right?
Well, I was very chuffed. Joe Hayes and Pat Fox arrived down the week I was retiring, and Joe gave me his 1991 Munster Final Tip jersey, which I thought was a nice touch, you know. Joe's a great character. First time I met him, 87, we were down playing Killarney against Tip, a decision that cost us the match. We should have gone back to Turles and we might have been better off. But Johnny Crowley got clattered at the end, not dirty or anything. He ran into one of the banners. I ran over and I was bringing him around just behind the goal after. And Joe was there with his hand in plaster. He couldn't play. He started squirting us with water. I really became great friends with Joe afterwards. He's a gas man, but I was very chuffed at his presentation.
Yeah, and I was at your retirement do last year in the City Hall, and Nicky English spoke finally about you as well. You have a very long standing relationship with Nicky. He's living in Dublin now.
Yeah.
He said you were still his GP.
When I was in college, I looked after him all the time. When he left college, he stayed in touch with me, and I've always looked after him. We're very close friends. Talked to him once a week.
Is it true that the Cannon, when Cork used to play Tipperary, that the Cannon always instructed the cornerbacks that they weren't supposed to touch Nicky?
Not true at all, no. But Nicky and the Cannon were very close. Nicky got the Cannon to marry him, actually.
And can one person that I have on the medical side, when you were doctor, obviously there was one man that was there by your side, and he really gets is Kid Cronin. For the people, like, there'd be a lot of people from Cork now would have heard of the Kid Cronin. You would have walked beside him for years. Was he the first masseur Cork ever had?
He was. I loved Kid. He was the players were mad about him. He was such a nice man. I often roomed with him, and I wake up in the morning, you'd think there was an atom bomb after going off. Smoke everywhere. He smoked for Ireland. But he was great fun. We played Derry in the All-Ireland Final, 92. And I was sitting beside him on the train going up, and we passed a cemetery a few miles outside Cork. And he said, someday he'll be up. And sure enough, he came back to Cork on the Monday. There was the reception in the brewery on the Tuesday. And during the reception, I was called out to certify the kid. He passed away. At the funeral, all the hurlers were coming up telling me, we knew the footballers would kill him. He was loved by everyone. In Cork, the footballers struggle for the affection of the public compared to the hurlers. Like, when I started off with Cork, I sat beside Ringy for 3 years at every match because I was in awe of him. And I got great stories out of him. He used to be so nervous before the matches started to be talking more than he normally would. But every time I met Ringy, he'd say to me, Murphy, are you still with the footballers? And I said, and he'd shake his head.
And even on that, Con, I read where, you know, a lot of the victories must have been massively special, and no doubt Mark's one as well, you know, because it was nearly a kick back to the Empire striking back, as in the Big Three in 99, Cork back, and but you said you knocked nearly as more pleasure, if not the most, out of the 210 football, like, and you can imagine, for me, looking from the outside, that would have been maybe like the likes of Canty and Anthony Lynch and all these fellas who had suffered a fair bit getting their reward.
Yeah, the reason I picked them, and I normally wouldn't sort of show my hand like that, but they were a smashing bunch of men who killed themselves training, who suffered humiliation in Dublin to Kerry. You know, we really suffered for years, unlucky sometimes, but being fair and square other times. But and to eventually win for me was massive. And they deserved it, and that's why I got such a kick out of that.
Yeah, that's massive. And Con, it's been an absolute pleasure. The weather looks good behind you anyway. I hope you have a lovely day and a lovely weekend. I didn't get around to asking you about that goal against Clarecastle, Con, in 1970 for UCC. I think Ray Cummins got the credit, did he?
He did. That was one of the saddest moments of my life. My biggest achievement. We're lucky we didn't win, because the team... We
we had picked fellas up along the way in Mallow and places that were no more legal. I remember the fellow was Mark, and he was a referee. But Slattery, was it?
Mick Slattery, oh yeah, he refereed the 73 All-Ireland final, Mick Slattery, yeah. The one that Limerick beat Kilkenny.
I was being forward on him.
Oh yeah, Mick Slats is still going strong, boy, great character.
He won't remember me, but I remember him. Yeah.
Like, he goes down in the annals of Clarecastle GA. Like, we hadn't won it since 49 until 70, and we didn't win it from 70 till 86, and we won a few after that. But the 70 boys would tell you, like, they beat this peak of all Ireland UCC team. Like,
it was that good player. I mean, Ray Cummins was playing that night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's the one that's trotted out straight away. Is should have Ray Cummins and all, like.
John Kelly of Tip was playing for him as well.
Yeah, there would have been a good Clarecastle team that would have suffered to the great Newmarket and Fergus team of the time, you know. And they'd have been beaten by them a fair bit in finals. They lost a lot of finals. But anyway, Con, it's been a pleasure. We could if we had a pint at all in front of the three of us and Larry, I'd say, because the last time I met you was we were down golfing in Cork, and we were supposed to go down to Monty from the River Lee Hotel. We'd all checked in after the golf, and we were supposed to go down to Monty for grub. In one of his places, and you happen to be there with your good buddy Frank Lohan, another great college man.
That's right.
And I think we all got to Monty's about 3 hours late. Anyway, Monty, a sandwich will do, as we said. We were with Dr. Con. Oh, geez, this is Con again. He says he's often sabotaged the party coming this way to me. So, what a brilliant evening. And the boys loved meeting you as well.
Well, I thought it was funny. A few fellas wanted to know where the River Lee was, and was described as being absolutely
sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where's the hotel? You know where Dr. Con's place is.
Hope to see you before the year is out.
Hopefully, Con. Hopefully we get together. The golf courses are opening, so we might do an après golf somewhere along the way.
Okay. Cheers, Dale.
Fantastic.
Cheers, Mara.
Cheers, Larry. Take care, bye.